The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the first chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. Now the birth of Jesus, the Messiah, took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, but before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man, unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he had resolved to do this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of God, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophet. "Look, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus. The Gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated. God's beloved, grace and peace to you from God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So before we go any further today, it's important to notice what we didn't hear this morning. Our gospel today starts at chapter 1, verse 18. Maybe you noticed that. What we didn't hear are those first 17 verses before today's gospel reading. It's all genealogy. It's all of it. Name after name, generation after generation. Matthew methodically provides his listeners with this list of the generations. Anybody stay up late doing Ancestry.com? This is the kind of thing we're talking about. Matthew's linking Abraham back in Genesis all the way down the line to the shepherd boy David, who becomes King David. And then it continues from King David more generations down the line all the way to the Messiah, to Jesus. It's truly a list of ancestors, nearly all men, often with hard names. Tempting to just gloss right over. We don't hear it read in church hardly ever. But look more closely, and you'll notice amongst all those men, four women sprinkled in: Tamar, Rahab, Ruth, the wife of Uriah, and finally a fifth woman, and that's Mary. It's Mary, with their stories and all the rest. If you kind of go back and dig them out, a picture emerges. A picture emerges that often includes quiet and sometimes not so quiet scandal and righteousness and deep, deep trust. For life gets complicated, doesn't it? Life gets very complicated. And they make a way. Indeed, God makes a way. So those 17 verses lead up to today's reading that we just heard from Matthew. Another potential scandal, right, is brewing. Joseph's betrothed Mary is pregnant. The culture of the time, the religious institutions of the day, Joseph knows them well. He knows them very well. This isn't how it's supposed to be. And Joseph, heartbroken, probably confused, probably angry, caught in the tension, Joseph is making plans. He's making plans. But then comes Joseph's dream. Then comes the angel of the Lord. Then comes the promise again, "Do not be afraid." Then come the instructions, the name of Jesus, the background, "For God makes a way." We are our ancestors' wildest dreams. That's the quote I've been mulling over this week. Over the years, I've seen it pinned up on bulletin boards, mostly to convey Black pride. This week, it showed up in the news and across social media. The quote was tweeted along with a picture, a stunning picture, of 15 Black medical students from Tulane University. This group, all in their crisp white coats, is posing at the Whitney Plantation in Louisiana. One writes, "We are our ancestors' wildest dreams." And then he goes on describing the photo. In the background, an original slave quarter, and we see the rough wood house, grayed with age. In the foreground, original descendants of slaves and medical students. It's a powerful photo. It's intense. It's brimming with history and potential. It's stark with resolve. If you haven't seen it yet, go find it. You'll find it pretty easily, I think. One of the students writes, "I think you could see that resolve in our faces in the photo, that we knew very well that we were standing here and doing our best to embody the resilience of our ancestors, standing here doing our best to show that we are here and we aren't going anywhere." We are our ancestors' wildest dreams. It turns out that Jesus is his ancestors' wildest dream. Matthew's lineage in those first 17 verses takes us down that path, name by name, step by step, generation by generation. Jesus is the prophet's wildest dream. Jesus is God's wildest dream, God's wildest dream for this world, this whole world. Dear friends, don't think that we're disconnected, you and I. We're not disconnected from that story, from that lineage. And frankly, you are your ancestors' wildest dreams and God's wildest dreams, too. Amen. Amen. Yeah. Our gospel reading this morning is Matthew's version of the story. That's what we've been talking about just now, his version of the dream. So as a little sidebar, we could even call it a little mini Bible study, let me say a few words about the other Gospels, right? In those days, we hear in Luke's Gospel the rendition of the story that we're going to hear on Christmas Eve. It is so familiar. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus. Does that sound familiar? We know that one. We know it very well. It's replete with angels and shepherds and the manger stall. Luke leads us to that natal story with the story before it with an angel talking to Mary. "You shall bear a child," the angel says. And then a very familiar angel promise, "Do not be afraid, do not be afraid." After some good questions, then it's when Mary sings her song of justice. "My soul magnifies the Lord." That's how Luke tells the liberation story. That's Luke's version of all of this. Where Matthew centers Joseph, Luke centers Mary. Mark's gospel now doesn't include a single thing about babies or shepherds, about Mary and Joseph. Nothing, nothing at all. Mark instead centers John the Baptist preparing the way for an adult John the Baptist, I should say, preparing the way for an adult Jesus. And finally comes John's version, and it's completely different. It's John's gospel that congregations read if they gather together on Christmas morning. "In the beginning was the Word." That's John's gospel. It's a different take. It's focused not on a baby Jesus, but on the Word, on the Logos. Our gospel acclamation, the one we just sang back and forth a few minutes ago with Zach, that acclamation gives voice to John's version of the gospel. I wanted to mention this because isn't it interesting that as the canon becomes the canon, as the Bible becomes the Bible, the church didn't find a way to align these different stories into one. The church didn't do that. The church didn't silence one version and center another version. And isn't it interesting? Isn't it a powerful, comforting, beautiful thing that truth shows up differently to each one of the characters, to Mary with her gentle and fierce way of liberation, to Joseph in that dream trying to do right, to the shepherds, and to David? God shows up, making the way that we need. I do some of my very best praying when I'm walking in the early morning. The prayer that I found myself praying this week was short. It was quite a week, wasn't it? Mm-hmm. It has been quite a week. It was short. It was as much a plea as anything, really. God, make a way. That's what I just kept praying over and over. It just came to me. God, make a way. Make a way in the pain and the waiting and the not knowing. Make a way where the division seems so deep and the values being espoused seem so counter. Make a way in our families, in our relationships, when old patterns have worn these deep, deep ruts. Make a way in the dim night when our minds are most open and your dreams have free rein. God, make a way. Make a way. Sometimes God makes a way and opens the Red Sea. We know about that, right? Most often, though, God responds to our prayers and makes a way, opening our hearts, our very hearts. That's what God did for Joseph and his beloved Mary. God opens our imaginations to new possibilities. God opens treasure troves of patience when we thought we'd run out and maybe we should just give up right now. Come on, I can't do anymore. Come on, God. And God makes a way and gives us the patience that we need. God opens our resilience and our strength and our bravery. That's what I see in those Tulane medical students. Not simply bravely to do hard things like venture to medical school, that's hard enough, but courage and bravely to bring their own identity and their ancestors and their dreams and their hopes, their fears, their God-given callings to that symbolic space at the plantation and then to share it so very publicly. We are our ancestors' wildest dreams. On Friday, along with some of you, Jane and I attended a gathering to celebrate the work of one of Isaiah's community organizers, faith-based community organizers, named Catalina Morales Bahana. Catalina had led the work on sanctuary and immigration at Isaiah, but really across the state and sometimes across the nation. She's done this for many years. She was the key leader for us as we became a sanctuary congregation 3 years ago. Catalina is moving on to other good and important leadership. So in that spirit, the microphone was passed around the room and many, many shared stories and gratitude for Catalina's work. Another Latina who had been invited into organizing by Catalina told the story of how Catalina had encouraged her, how profoundly important it was to have another person with dark curly hair, another person with two last names, another person who really understood her particular experience, her particular background. She said, "Catalina told me, this is how God works. This is how God works." Dear friends in Christ, generation by generation, conversation by conversation, dream by dream, God makes a way. This is how God works. This is how God works at Christmas and every season, every time. This is how God works. And that's good news. Amen.